Hi, this is Marvin Williams. You're listening to That Millwall Podcast.
Hi, welcome back to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. So let's say good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, wherever you are. Or maybe you're listening to it in the middle of the night. Maybe I should learn some languages, because looking through the list at the moment, we are going all over. Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. Let's welcome on board our guests for this week. Our usual... I suppose, really, officially now, you're a co-host, aren't you? It's the one and only Kai Bennett. How you doing, Kai?
Good, thank you, mate. I'm obviously moving up in the world, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. You're in level with the top now. You're in the top tier in a minute, aren't you? So, yeah, you're not so bad, is it? Do you know what I mean? And we're joined by a proper journalist, Kai. Someone you need to look up to, mate. Do you know what I mean? The one and only Dan Marsh. How you doing, Dan? You all right?
Yeah, good. Thank you, mate. You both good?
Yeah, good, yes, good, mate.
All good. I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's called, it looks as if it's spelled basically Reunion. If you're listening, you'll know who you are, because I think there's probably only one of you watching a couple of the shows and stuff. So I think it's only one person out, or maybe two people out there. But I think it's Ruana or Reunion. It's French. It's a French island, and it's basically between Madagascar and Mauritius. There's a little island, a French colony, which is recognised as one of the French districts. So it's technically France, but it's basically in the middle of the Indian Ocean. I think it's the Indian Ocean. And it's basically between Madagascar and Mauritius. So if you flew over Madagascar towards Mauritius, it's, I think, the first island you get to close to Mauritius. So it's about 320 miles off Madagascar. But hi, welcome, thanks for listening, and thanks for making me Google and find a new place I've never fucking heard of before. So if you are listening, give us a comment. If you watch on YouTube, or if you're on social media, on Twitter, just give us a comment and let us know a bit more about you. Why are you there? Always interesting to know. And again, if you're listening to this in far stretched places of the world, get onto the YouTube, watch the show on YouTube, and give us a comment, let us know where you're from, or even just get in touch with us in any of our bios across social media. There's links on there, and now you can get in touch with us, drop us an email, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah. Right then, without further ado, we'll crack on. Tonight's show, we're going to talk about Derby, the fact that Millwall's won three on the row, a bit of shithousery by Mason Bennett and Malone even, and... and then we'll come back for part two, where we will be talking all about Sheffield United at the weekend. And in case you haven't realised, Omar is not here this week. He's got something to deal with. So,
He listens, eh?
What's that?
Let's see if he listens.
Yeah, he will listen. Unlike you, Kai, Omar is an avid listener, just to see how many times I fuck up. And someone else commented on YouTube this week on the last show and said, I really love your show, lads, and I especially like it when Mickey fucks up. So thanks for that. And we'll be back straight after this.
Hi, this is Marvin Williams. You're listening to That Millwall Podcast.
Derby first, and Millwall took the travel up to Derby. I think it's a town full of retards and weird looking people if you looked at the crowd last night. But Millwall got a result, same as what I predicted on the last show. So, quite a smug bastard am I. But let's start with you, Dan. Views on the game last night?
Yeah, thought it was good. thought first half was probably, obviously, bearing in mind I don't get to watch every game. First half was one of the more impressive halves I've seen. Wasn't lucky enough to catch a QPR game, but just felt like we looked like scoring every time we went forward. The only downside, I suppose, is that, you know, Derby looked like they had a goal in them as well. But, you know, I think we was unlucky to only be two at the break. I don't think there could have been any complaints if we'd gone in, you know, three or four up. And then the second half, you know, was a bit different. Like, Derby come out, but I didn't really think we were ever in any real trouble. You know, we were quite comfortable. In terms of an away day performance, you can't really ask for much more than that.
Sorry, just unmute myself. There we go. Kai, what's your thoughts?
No, it was good. It was good to see front three of obviously no strikers again. To see Benic out. And I thought Mason Bent, that man just behind you, Mickey, was, if you're watching on YouTube, was superb last night.
Or recast,
yeah. One of the two. Anything you listen to, you actually can see us. Mason Bennett was superb. he silenced the crowd early on, and that sort of stood him in good stead. He, you know, got confidence from that. Tyler Beery as well was superb. Jed, back to his best. I saw you tweet out last night, Dan. But yeah, he was definitely back to his best.
Do you think the fact that we've got these injuries and we don't necessarily have a proven striker has given a completely different dynamic to the team and sort of forced them to work more as a collective unit?
Yeah, potentially. Like, I think we saw a little bit of it last year when Mason and Jed played down the middle. Like, we had a little bit of a purple patch when they were linking up. Becoming more and more common now, isn't it, really? Like, you see teams in the Premier League don't have a striker. Looks like Man City are going to win the whole league without having a proper striker. Definitely. I think, for me personally, watching our attack at points over the last couple of years, like even with Morrison and Gregory, they were so effective, but we didn't really have that. We didn't really have any pace, didn't really have an alternative. Whereas now, you know, there's pace to burn. Bennett's got that bit of power, that bit of needle in it. It's a nice blend, the three of them at the minute. You know, maybe we wouldn't have found that trio if it wasn't for injuries and COVID, but it doesn't matter how we found them. They're doing the business, and, you know, as long as they keep doing that, not a problem at all.
Bury has definitely found his feet, 2-2. Kai, you can come in whenever you want, Kai, yeah?
Yeah, no worries, mate. No, I was going to say, definitely, I think Bury's been great. But I think going back to your last point, I think it's helped push the midfield forward as well. If you don't have without striker, I think Billy Mitchell, and before he got injured, Kieftenbeld was really pushing forward as well. Saffold got forward quite well yesterday as well. And that little bit of pace that they have up top, well, between the three of them, they're very quick. And, you know, it just hurts defences. With Curtis Davis at the back last night, you could see the plan. It was to, you know, put balls in behind and try and stretch them. And when you won it, try and put balls through straight away and catch them off guard. And it certainly worked.
The first half, we looked on fire. I think we were, we just looked like a team possessed. I think probably it helped that Jed scored within the first, minute 20 seconds, I think it was. Yeah. Was it a free kick? Don't know, really.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think I'd have been a bit annoyed if that had been given against us, I've got to be honest. The benefit of a replay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, yeah, with the benefit of a replay, well, I think it was a questionable decision. But you know what? We've had those go against us. I think Jed just looks to be enjoying his football since he's come back. And I think he's just in the shop window now, isn't he? I think he's doing everything he needs to see, obviously, what comes in the summer. And try and give him, hopefully something happens and he stays with us. Doubt it. But, you know, he's definitely showing his form at the minute. But, I mean, who was your standout player last night then, Kai?
I'd say probably Mason Bennett. I thought he was excellent. I just thought that second goal really underlined his qualities. Holding off a defender, bit of skill, bit of pace, bit of trickery. And then, you know, to pull the ball back in such a dangerous area like he did, and he was stumbling as well. Pulled the ball back in a really nice area, and obviously Jed could have hit it first time, but in the end it falls to Tyler Bury, who took the goal really well.
Jed did hit it,
I think. So yeah,
Jed hit it and it blocked and it came out, and I really don't know how that went in, because Bury was basically leaning right the way back when he got right underneath it, and it just literally went in, you know, underneath the crossbar. But that could have, on any other day, if we didn't have the luck with us, and obviously, like the free kick, we had that luck. If we didn't have the luck, I think that would have probably gone right over the top of the stand, to be fair, mate. That was, I was quite surprised when it went in. You sort of knew it was going to go in, but when you look at it going in, you think, Christ, if that was only a little bit higher, that would have gone straight over the top of the bar and And it would have been an interesting, you know, twitchy ass session for the rest of the game. But the only thing I didn't like yesterday was Derby was seen. They never looked as if they were going to be scored, or they never looked as if they were going to score. But they did seem to be able to get into our half fairly easy. You know, they were winning. They were winning bad passes where we were trying to pass it through, and they were nicking them at the last, you know, at the last stretch. And then they just kept seeing, just kept getting into our area. We were shutting them down. We looked like old defence of old until Cooper. But that was my only concern, is that they were getting in far too easy. I mean, what's both you boys think?
Yeah, I think it was an open game, wasn't it? I think that first half especially, it could have been anything. I think we could have had three or four, but I think they had a really good chance. I think it was Ebicelli, had a really good chance. Could have been anything. I mean, you could argue that where we've now got no kind of traditional striker or that more fluid front three, maybe that's a consequence of that. Maybe we are going to be a little bit more open. But at the same time, that is what most people ask for in terms of, you know, wanted a bit more blood and, you know, thunder up front. Especially when you've got a defensive unit that's been as solid as ours over a couple of years. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. Like you say, Derby were cutting through us, but I wouldn't say I was overly concerned at any point last night in terms of that. I don't know if you agree, Kai.
No, I think you're right. I think don't think they actually ever looked like scoring. I think the only thing I felt is obviously when they kept going forward, the fans kept getting, you know, they were lifting their own fans. And I think that's where I was slightly concerned. Obviously, I was more looking into the future rather than right at the present time. I thought the more that their fans got into it and the more the fans backed them, I thought they could maybe get a lucky break and it could put a bit of pressure on us. But as it goes, you know, their fans probably, you know, they probably got to about 70 minutes and then they started to calm down probably about half to 80. And funny enough, just as Chipper's own goal went in, their fans were starting to leave. So they were going, and it looked like it was going to quiet down. And then, you know, it looked like basically they'd given up almost, and they were going to lose. And I thought that was the time. And then obviously they score, and you think, oh, they will come back in. It's going to be loud the last 6 minutes. They're going to be trying to get behind their team again. So
I think they were lucky. They had another chance where they could have scored, where fuck knows how Bart did it, but Bart just managed to get a hand to it and just flick it forward, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I think it's nice to see the team play with passion, and also the fact that it's what we wanted. The fact that we've won three on the bounce now it doesn't paper over where we've been, but it just shows really what we're capable of. But I don't know whether or not it shows Rowett to suddenly be a good manager, or it just shows that actually the team starting to play what they can achieve. Do you know what I mean? I suppose the question is, what do you think's happened for the sudden turnaround, three games on the bounce when we couldn't fucking win for Toffee?
I don't know if it's anything like, I think for me, after, again, like, you know, I didn't go to the Blackpool game. I think that was a turning point, if I remember correctly. Maybe it's a little bit more of the shackles are off. I mean, look, realistically, I don't think even before this run, I don't think we were going to really be troubled in terms of going down. The top six still looks, for me personally, a bit far away, even after three wins on the bounce. It's a question of, you know, you're kind of playing, not for pride, but the pressure's off a bit. I don't know if that's contributed. I don't know if it's the combination of players that are now back in, up front, in the middle, at the back. You know, it's difficult because there've been, it feels like all season there's been at least one key kind of component of that side missing. And as soon as you get that player back, someone else will drop out. Could just be that the team at the minute has struck up a decent understanding quickly in terms of the form as well. But it's all kinds of things really. Like, for me, the biggest thing for me is we now look, earlier in the season, there were times where I watched this and I thought, we don't look like scoring. I don't get that impression now over the last few games. And whether, for me, I would associate that with kind of a bit of a pressure coming off. And, you know, it's a bit of a free hit. We're not going to go up. We're not going to go down. Go out, enjoy your football. Show us what you can do. Because, you know, there's obviously going to be work in the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and also I wonder whether obviously the QPR game, I think, is more relevant to it. But I think the QPR game, with their goal scoring record this year and their, you know, how they've been doing, obviously they haven't had the greatest run up until the last couple of games, but they have been doing really well and they have been scoring for fun. And I wonder if Gary Rowett just thought, let's just go toe to toe with them and see how we do, you know, and then see whether that, you know, we'll see whether we can go toe to toe with them. We saw we could. And I reckon maybe that gave him that impression that maybe actually we can play with that a little bit more freedom. And he did it last night again, and we were brilliant first half.
Well, he did come out in an interview, didn't he, the other day, where he just turned around and he said, I've just told the team to enjoy their football and take the last 17 games as the 17 games. You know, go out and play each game as a game and enjoy. And you know, we'll just play each game as it is. So, you know, it could be that where there is no pressure. It's not about this is where we want to finish. This is it. Mm. I mean, whatever it is, it's working. Whatever it is, it's the formula. They've clicked. The team spirit's there. Last night, out of all the players, obviously, you said are your man. I mean, were there any players you thought were, I mean, personally, I I'm not going to get into a, slagging him off because he's 15 years old, 16 years old. I'm not going to slag him off. But I think Lovelace looked a bit out of place last night.
I think when he come on, obviously, we were 2-0 up. We were cruising. Yeah. And yeah, we've all said that goal come out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, Kai's right. Fans come back in. You know, I feel a bit sorry for him in a way because it should have been, you know, a 5-10 minute run out like the end of Coventry, bit of experience when all of a sudden you're in the trenches. And yeah, it was always going to be a big ask for him. If we're 2-0 up and the ball's coming back and we're comfortable, it doesn't really matter because he was up against, you know, Curtis Davies and I can't remember who the other centre half is, but, you know, proper championship defenders, you know. I think how quickly the game changed after he come on. I think it was probably a tough ask. And, you know, with hindsight, maybe that change wouldn't have been made. But, you know, I think at the time, I probably would have made the change. I didn't see him scoring, you know, for love nor money.
No, I think that's about right. I think a lot of the balls played in front of him, or if it did, and then eventually, obviously, it went past him and they were playing in front of the centre-backs in midfield. I don't think, obviously, he didn't really get on the ball. He nearly went off Curtis Davies when he first came on. But I don't think we can judge Zach Lovelace properly until we see what he can do on the ball. Rather than, I don't think last night was probably a fair. You can't make a fair judgment of Zach Lovelace. He's only young. Oh, he's coming off.
I totally agree.
Derby are scrapping for their lives. You know, they're fighting for their lives, and you can't. I don't think you can judge him off that little spell.
It's also away from home. And their fans are, you know, away fans are quite loud and aggressive. And if you're not used to that environment, it can be a bit, you know, it's a big stage. You know, Derby is a big stadium, isn't it? Really, it's quite a big stadium. And he's only 16 years old. I'm not in any way going to be slagging him off because that's not what I'm doing. But I just think last night was definitely a learning curve for him. And hopefully a little bit of experience, what he takes on board and moves forward with it. Because I think he's got great potential. He looks a great kid. He looks as if there's something about him, and hopefully they develop him well, and, you know, another year or so he starts playing, you know, full 90 minutes and stuff and actually starts ripping people a new ass because, again, he's got pace. But, yeah, last night I think that could have just been really that he only got about 5-10 minutes, if that, and he didn't really get into the game.
Yeah, I think, like, you're touching on the atmosphere there as well. Like, not only, I think at that age, so much to handle at that age. If you think, like, I tried to think what I was doing at 16, definitely wasn't on a fucking football pitch in front of
fucking 10,000 people. Yeah. It was fucking something, but not on a football pitch.
And then that alone, even when we're 2-0 up and, you know, really the life's been sucked out of the place a bit, in terms of a result, people are leaving, and then all of a sudden that switch just like that, like hell of a lot for someone of that age to adapt to. Like, it's different to that happening at under 18s, under 23s, and that happens in a senior game with 20,000 people around you. Like, but you're right, Mick. I think in a way, even though in hindsight, maybe if we knew we was going to concede that, like, we probably wouldn't have brought him on. You'd probably get a lot from that.
I agree. I mean, the Palace game, you think about Palace game, they had to ask for his teacher permission and everything else. Yeah. And it probably, people were talking to him throughout the day, telling him, you know, don't worry about it. Just go out there, enjoy your football and all of that. And he knew what that was about. And he could relax into it. But when you're away from home and all of a sudden you're 2-1 down, you must have. I mean, if I was him playing, I'd be thinking, I can't fucking, you know, if it comes near me or whatever, I can't let them get past me. I can't let them fucking score a goal, because otherwise I'm never going to be forgotten. And then you've got to think about, I can't let them score, plus I want to score. You're sort of going to be looking at it either way, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? You're sort of, it's very, very, the emotions and everything else of the day must be going through you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you look back at Tyler Bury, obviously, he's 21, 22 now, Bury? Mm-hmm. When he first joined us a couple of years ago, I think he got his break probably during the COVID time, didn't he? And when he first came in, that was in empty stadiums. Bury looked a little bit out of his depth. But look at him now, he's flourishing. And that might be the same with Lovelace. He needs that little bit of experience before he shows what he can really do.
I think also Bury's been taken under the wing of quite a few senior players. I think Jed absolutely, you know, likes him. I think Cooper, you know, as Cooper said on the interview, you know, fuck me, you know, he swore on the VT when they blocked out, you know, fuck me, you know, 2-2. The kid's got talent. They all say the kid's got proper talent, proper natural talent. So I think maybe that's it.
I think Bury as well, I know he had a couple of games for Wimbledon before he come, again, it would have been cameos like what Zach had, but I think he did have that little taste. And then if you have that little taste and then he come here for a year, I don't think he really played. And then you're right, quite towards the end of the kind of COVID season, he kind of had that a couple of games off the bench. So even that, you know, 10, 15 minutes for, I don't know what it is off the top of my head, a handful of times for Wimbledon before he came here would have done him a world of good. And hopefully in a year's time, 2 years time, the cameo against Coventry and the 5-10 minutes against Derby will have the same effect for Zach.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it will. I mean, it'll be rude not to talk about the before we move on from part one is the shithousery from Mason Bennett and Scott Malone. I think
now
Scott
Malone
was that well now yeah but more well. Yeah, yeah, more so from Mason Bennett and Scott, because obviously they're ex-Derby players. First time Mason Bennett's been back to Derby after telling them to burn on his Snapchat going past them on the train. And I just think that Scott Malone's tweet from last night was fucking superb. You're going to need a bigger boat. It was just pure shithousery and fucking absolutely fantastic. I mean, what were your thoughts? You were there, Kai. What were your views on his celebration? And, because the crowd was singing your shit, weren't they? Just as he scored, as he laid the ball through, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were singing, just before he scored, they're singing Mason Bennett is a wanker. And then Millwall are singing, he left because you're shit. Mason Bennett, he left because you're shit. And then just as they started singing that, he got on the ball, did, you know, a little bit of skill, a little bit of pace. And then he ran off celebrating like that after Bury finished, and he loved it, and rightfully so. As he said last night on his interview, he said, you know, got a bit of stick here, it's only right I give a little bit back. And when he came off at the end, he clapped the Millwall fans. I think he gave a little smile to the Derby fans, and just like Rowett clapped the Derby fans as he came off last night as well.
There's a great video what Millwall put as a GIF in it where the full time whistle goes, and he just, it's like, yeah, and you just see Rooney behind him looking mightily pissed off. Do you know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest, Derby are a better team than the Points are at the minute.
Yeah.
They've got some class players in their team, and they're a much better team. If they didn't have all the point deduction, they'd be right up there. But I think he's doing an okay job, to be fair.
I think he's doing a top job, isn't he? As much as, you know, I don't think he's the most popular person, but can't knock the job he's done. I don't think they'd be far off where we are. And when you consider they have got some top players, they've still got some good players, but they've had to supplement that with a lot of academy kids as well. Like, I know they still look decent, so that always helps. But, you know, yeah, he has done a good job. And it shouldn't, people shouldn't look at the table and think, oh, you know, that's still a cracking result last night. I know we do well when we go to Pride Park, but, you know, they've been on a decent bit of form as well, I think.
They haven't lost a game at home since November.
Yeah.
Only their third season, so at home. So,
and we turn up and fucking potentially do them 2-0, and then Cooper goes and ruins it by a proper slice.
Well, it's been an awful week, hasn't it? Because they've Reading won again on Tuesday. So, you know, it's sort of pushed them back into, well, they were in trouble before Reading won again. But Reading were in real trouble themselves before Paunovic, they won on Saturday. And then obviously they won last night. And it sort of looks like Reading might be on the up now, and that team above them is quite difficult to catch. So that might be probably not the nail in the coffin, maybe, for last night winning against Derby.
Maybe an interesting time ahead, I suppose, is the saying, I suppose. But yeah, I think that's it for part one. Unless you boys have got anything other about the game last night you want to add.
No, just what you're saying. Like, I think it's nice when people, look, if you give a bit of stick, you've got to take a bit back. You know, I think it's refreshing to see players who are prepared to go to their old clubs and celebrate, or, you know, even
absolutely,
you know, even some of the like the manager comments and stuff, like, from people. Like, I love it. I don't think you can beat a bit of honesty. You know, and if that means riling a few people, obviously there's a line. There's always a line, but I love it. And I think this club has always liked people who have got a bit of character about them, who will go and do, you know, what Bennett and Malone did last night.
Bennett's been really taken in, hasn't he? Mm. Millwall fans have really taken to Bennett.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like. Like, you know, if you can keep him fit, he's a good championship player. Like,
he's a big lump, isn't he?
Yeah, he's deceptively strong. Like, he's good in the air as well. Like, he's got a bit of a kale about him in the air. Like, he wins a lot of headers. I don't think he's a particularly big lad. But, you know, I think, listen, you don't come through at a club like Derby at 15, 16, play the amount of games he's played for them if you've not got a bit about you, you know.
Definitely.
And now we've got him, and he's got a bit about him, and he's, you know, maybe you called it, he is slowly but surely growing into being that Millwall type player, isn't he? We'll go through you, we'll attack, won't go down from, you know, pussy ass challenges, and celebrates when he scores against his old club, which is always lovely. But yeah, right, you're listening to this, we're going to be back straight after this, and we're going to come into part two, where we will be talking Sheffield United on the visit on Saturday. So, yeah, we will be back straight after this.
Hi, this is Marvin Williams. You're listening to that Millwall podcast.
We're back, part two. And this time we are talking about Sheffield United's visit to the Den on Saturday. Don't forget that Sheffield United coming is, that is Jimmy Mizzen Day. And Jimmy would have turned 30 this year. So there will be collection buckets all around the stadium. So please remember to bring loads of change and dig deep. Not that I'd expect Millwall fans to do otherwise, to be fair. But yeah, dig deep and remember it's Jimmy's day. So Kai, come on and give us the rundown of the last few games then. Who's won, who's lost? And is it time that are we going to beat them this week? Come on.
Well, you said last five, but the last 10 look even better. So I'm going to do last 10.
Okay, let's do last 10 then.
Right, so 5 wins, 3 draws, 2 defeats in the league. That's not counting the FA Cup fixture a couple of years ago. Most recent game, obviously 2-1 against Sheffield United at Bramall Lane, with Jake Cooper scoring that last minute thunderbolt. Decent game that, wasn't it?
It weren't a bad game, to be fair. But who are you going to look out for on Saturday then, Kai? Who do we need to watch?
Sander Berge did very well against Blackburn last night. saw a couple of tweets on him. Obviously, Billy Sharp is always one you have to keep an eye out for. He knows where goal is. But yeah, I'd say Sander Burgess is top quality. And also Morgan Gibbs-White got sent off in the last fixture between the two sides. And yeah, he'll be looking probably to prove a point. And he's really good. He's good on the ball. But as he was called, I think he was sent off back in, what was it, November, December? I think it was for a dive. So referee needs to keep an eye on him. But no, they're three good players for Sheffield United, ones that they will need to watch.
How do you think we're going to do on Saturday then, Dan?
Difficult, really. Like, if you'd have asked me a couple of weeks ago, I don't think I'd have been all that confident.
I'm asking you now.
Do you know what? It'd be a good game, I hope. Because Sheffield United is a funny one, because they got rid of their manager, didn't they? And they gave it to the old Leeds coach, Paul Heckingbottom. And I know their fans weren't very happy, but they've been doing all right, I think. I'm confident, though. Like, do you know what? At the minute, we tend to do all right in the second half of the season, don't we? We tend to normally have a little bit of a run in the second half of the season. I'd imagine it'd be a good crowd off the back of two good performances. I fancy us, quietly confident.
We'll come to the score predictions and teams in a bit, but I just think that, yeah, I agree with you. I think the crowd's going to be there this week. It looks like the crowd's going to be at Reading as well. So I think the crowd's going to be there this week. I think if they can get behind the team and the team turns up like they have done the last three games, especially the last two games at home, then, I think it'll be a good game. They're both sort of holding their own at the minute. So it'll be a good match of two very capable teams. I mean, Kai, what's your thoughts?
No, they're a good side, Sheffield United. They're currently sixth. In the table playoffs, just, you know, they occupy the last position. So it's, I know Dan was saying earlier about, you'll still think playoffs are a little bit too far away, but I think if we have any aspirations, Saturday is a must win. In terms of, if we win that game, we're 4 points off. And then we've got a couple of key games coming up as well against teams in and around there as well. So if we have got aspirations of making the playoffs, it's key. These probably next five games need to be, we need to do quite well to then get back into it. And then obviously we need to sort of stay doing well as well. So I think they'll come out again, the players, with sort of freedom about them. Sheffield United are currently sixth and their fans are expecting them to make the playoffs this year. So they've got the pressure on them, I feel. And obviously, we will expect a good performance from Millwall too, but Sheffield United they're expected this year, Sheffield United probably going up. So, the Millwall can turn up and start really strongly like they did against Derby, then it might shock the Sheffield United players and it will, we could end up nicking a goal or two and starting off quite strongly.
Is that how you think we start? Do you think we just come out of the traps double quick? Or do you think he's going to play the same sort of way at home with a back fucking five?
I reckon regardless of the formation, I reckon we'll come out like we did against QPR. I reckon we'll be strong. I reckon we'll be up for it. The fans, as I said, there's probably a little bit, after a couple of good performances, the crowd up here, hope, would be quite good. The crowd is always up for it anyway. But as soon as the players start strong, the volume only goes up and up and up. And once it gets to that point, you always feel like we'll win anyway because the crowd is that 12th man.
I think you've got to be up for it. Haven't you? You've got to come out at the start of a game and be up for it after the run we're on at the minute. You know, like we just said, going away at Derby, I don't care where they are on the table. It's a cracking result. QPR, again, best performance of the season. I didn't get to see it, but I've heard it was fantastic. You know, these are, and as well, Sheffield United at home, that's a big game in a championship. Like, these are the kind of games that traditionally a Millwall team, Millwall players should be up for, should thrive in. So, yeah, I think in terms of formation, like, I don't think, I know some people don't like the five at back, but, you know, we have shown we can be attacking with it and we can show intent. So I don't think that should affect it, like, I just think, for me, and now I've said this, obviously, we won't start like that. We'll start the complete opposite. But I can only see us coming out firing at the start based on the run we're on at the minute.
Okay, then, Dan. Formation and who would be your team for Saturday?
So I'd stick the same team.
Your next guy.
Same team, same shape. I don't think I'd change anything if everyone's fit. I think at the minute, it doesn't matter how we find it, if we stumbled upon it or whatever, it just works, doesn't it? Like, you know, I think the only thing I'd say in terms of Bury, Jed and Bennett, you know, I thought they were dynamite the other night. I thought they all looked really, really good. But they're going to be inconsistent. Players like Tyler Bury, Mason Bennett, you know, wingers, attackers, they are hit and miss. So there is every chance that obviously they're going to have a blip and it could be Saturday. But I don't think you can change anything based off the last, you know, couple of games. Bury had to come in after scoring, after coming on against QPR and scoring. So I don't think there's anything to change.
He's got to come on. He's got to come on for Saturday after scoring midweek as well now, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think, unless there's an injury, I don't think you can change it. I don't think Gary, I can't see him wanting to change it. So yeah, I think that's a pretty, one of the more simpler ones of this season, I'd guess.
Kai?
Yeah, I think same. I don't think, it's a cliche, but you don't really normally tend to change your winning side, do you? Especially after they played so well last couple of games. I see exactly the same formation, exactly the same team, same style, and hopefully we can. They're obviously the centre backs for Sheffield United are they're experienced, and pace will hurt them.
No, I think you're right, and I think the same team will work. I mean, how do you think it's going to be going forward? I mean, you know, I could, you know, hopefully we could go on a bit of a run, but I can see the players coming back from injury are potentially coming back at the right time and could fit in nicely with certain positions to give players in there a bit of a rest, like Ballard, Leonard, et cetera, et cetera. Do either one of you, as you are both journos, do either one of you know when Leonard and Ballard, et cetera, are coming back?
Ballard's back in the squad, isn't he?
Yeah, Ballard was on the bench the other night, I think, wasn't he?
Hopefully he'll get a... He just needs match time now. Don't need to get back fit.
I think he's played a couple of behind closed doors games or for 23s. I know he's definitely got some minutes. Leonard, I think the last I remember seeing him was after the upcoming international breaks in mid-March. And there's not been anything out to say that he suffered a setback, so hopefully not. But I think you're right, like, with the kind of buzz at the minute, I'll admit, until you just said it, then it slipped me mind a bit. You've got players like Ojo, Bradshaw, Leonard to come back in. All been, you know, Ojo, Bradshaw and Leonard, I think, have been top draw this season. Ojo was a bit of a slow burn, but he was starting to, you know, strut his stuff just before he got injured. So, you know, they're three, you'd argue they're three starters coming back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, that's what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, if we can start a bit of a run, God forbid, you know, if we could, you know, get a few games behind us, a bit like, who was it with Harris, didn't we? We had 19 on the trot, didn't it? Was it with Harris? We had 19 wins on the trot.
Yeah, 17 or 18, wasn't it, under Harris?
Yeah. You know, if we could get something like that, like, to the end of the season, dude, by the time they start coming in, we could potentially be, give it a good push. Kai's always going to be positive and go playoffs. If we don't get into the playoff position, Kai's going swimming in Bournemouth.
Oh, nice.
Last game of the season, Kai's going for a swim.
Well, it's not that bad because it'll be quite nice and probably hot by then, won't it?
So Have you been in this country long? Like, no, it won't. Like, I don't care.
It's better than Omar's bet, Bob Varson, because his bet was that he was potentially going to go in the Blackpool.
In January. Yeah, if Bivarsen hadn't gone, Dan, right? If Bivarsen hadn't gone, Omar was going to go swimming when we went up to Blackpool.
And he signed the day before. He was so lucky.
He signed the day before for Bolton.
I was hoping he's going to be signed on the Monday or something. And Omar had to go up there. So annoyed.
Got to be honest, mate, and I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I don't think you're going to be as lucky as Omar. I think you're going to have to take your trunks up to Bournemouth, down to Bournemouth. I've got to be honest.
These silly boys making these fucking outlandish fucking...
You've not done anything like that, have you?
No, don't be fucking stupid. I'm 46 years old, mate.
Neil did last year, didn't he, Mickey?
Huh?
What did Neil say last year about the playoffs? Was he going to streak down the blue, didn't he say that?
Was it? Omar did, wasn't it? Was it Omar? I can't remember what it was, but yeah, something. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, or something. But no, it was if Bredvardsson scored 10 goals.
That's it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I don't. I'm not stupid enough. I know that my luck is dog shit, and it won't work for me. So unless it's something what I'm prepared to do anyway, then there's no point in me making a forfeit on it. So yeah, I suppose news what broke the other day. Fuck knows how they got hold of it. What was it, Football Insider? I think it was. Fuck knows how they got hold of the information, considering people close. You know, sources I know close to both parties don't really know about it, sort of, but don't really know about it. But it seems to be the wonder kid Aldo is potentially coming back.
It's an interesting one.
It is interesting.
It's a fucking... I had to double-check the date on the article to make sure it weren't an April 1st. You know what I mean? Because he left us... in a dodgy time, really, wasn't it? Just before or just around the transfer time, wasn't it? He suddenly went.
It was in the window, I think.
Yeah, it was. I think it was. Mm. But I don't know. I know he's liked at the club by JB. JB thinks a lot of him, absolutely a lot of him. You know, and I agree with that with other people what have said it. I know that he is well liked. I know that he likes and the club likes the system he uses because he uses a lot of analytical programs, you know, like we need a centre-back, what we'll do this. There's a list of centre-backs, what we do. Because I know the club used to, under him, pick their teams at the beginning of the year, pick all their targets at the beginning of the year and then start monitoring them to see whether or not they actually perform how they want them to perform and then obviously look at going after them. He's picked some good under his time, I suppose he's picked some good signings, but on the same level, he has picked some fucking dog shit ones. Is he coming back as head of recruitment, or do you think possibly he's coming back maybe as a director of football?
I would be very surprised, just from my own personal point of view, I would be surprised if he was coming back as a director of football. I think realistically, if he's coming back, it would have to be something in that recruitment area, but I could be completely wrong. I hadn't heard that the club wanted a director of football.
I don't know if they do or they don't. It's just that there's, you know, loads of people have been talking about, you know, we need a style.
That's what Omar's been saying, hasn't he, a lot?
I
wouldn't necessarily disagree with it. Like, I think you're right, but it's not something I've heard. But I think personally, just on a hunch, I think if there is any substance to that, that I would assume he'd be going into the recruitment department, which is interesting because obviously it took us quite a while, didn't it, after he left to bring in Harvey Brussel. So that's an interesting one. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think it's a strange one.
Mm.
It's one we didn't see come or didn't see coming in any shape or form.
I think recruitment has been not a weak point for us, but I think, you know, there's been more than a few questionable deals, hasn't there? Like, I think... even after the January window shut, I think you was there, Kai, when Gary answered my question about recruitment and he said we always want to do better and that he thought it was something that, you know, we need to look at improving. You know, we are taking steps. I think for me, I can't remember if I said it on here when I was last on because it was near the end of the transfer window, but for me, even though it wasn't a success in terms of I don't think we got everything we wanted in the window, for me, the kind of players we were looking at in the build-up to deadline day, you know, younger players, in form, lower leagues, European, for me, I think that's where we should be looking, you know?
For years we never looked in Europe and now we suddenly are.
It's positive signs, isn't it? I mean, what that will mean, if there is substance to this, I don't know. But it's definitely a bolt out of the blue, isn't it?
I mean, they're saying potentially, I mean, they're using the line head of recruitment. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. Interesting and see how that develops, I suppose. But, yeah, it is what it is. I look like a ghost then. well, I think that's pretty much it. This is the end of...
Predictions.
What's that?
Predictions.
Oh, yeah. Go on then. Let's go with prediction. You want me to go first?
Yeah, because you got it right last time, so you've got to leave it.
Yeah, I'm going to play to the crowd, and I'm going to play to one of my pals living out in California, Stuart. Hello. Hopefully you fell off the fucking treadmill or you fucking dropped your laptop. But I'm going to go 2-1.
Yeah, I'll go for a 2-1.
2-0.
To who?
Millwall.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought I'd check then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, look, thanks very much for listening. That's pretty much it. We've talked what we want. We love it when you get involved in the comments and dropping us DMs and et cetera. It's all good. You can follow us across social media. It's That Millwall Pod. It's quite easy. You'll be able to find us across all the social medias. If you watch us on YouTube, then please do subscribe. Please don't make me find the 48.7% who don't subscribe and watch our videos. It's easy. Just press the button. Then you get all the videos when they come out. You can watch us on Recast if you are watching on Recast. Remember, look, we're not charging you a fortune. We're not making you spend your money. It's quite easy to watch our show on Recast earlier than what it appears on YouTube. It will cost you 10 cents. And that's basically the cost of watching one advert. We've seen the amount of abuse what Millwall get with people moaning about it's too much and you can't watch so many adverts, blah, blah, blah. Ours is 10 cents. It's one advert. So in theory, you can watch it for free and it will be, before YouTube. Sometimes it will be, a lot longer before it goes to YouTube. But for instance, this show... This will go out and Recast Thursday evening, Thursday night. It will go out as a podcast at 5:30 in the morning on Friday, and then it will go on YouTube at 6 p.m. Friday evening. So you will get, pretty much a day early if you want to watch it and see our pretty faces. But other than that, that's pretty much it for another day. We're going to play Sheffield United at the weekend. Hopefully we stuff the Blades. Please remember it is a Jimmy Mizzen day and Jimmy means a lot to Millwall fans. He is one of our own and let's dig deep and give the charity there. Just one thing, Nikki, who organised that event, she has done for more years than I'd like to remember. She does a fantastic job behind the scenes. Well done, Nikki. And yeah, you'll probably see Margaret around as well tomorrow on Saturday even. Yeah, it is tomorrow. I can say tomorrow because the show comes out tomorrow. So it is